This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, we continue essential fiqh, and we are on the chapter of the funeral prayers. Of course, in the last couple of weeks, we're also on the same chapter. We looked at the benefits of the larger congregational prayer over the smaller one in terms of the janazah prayer. Who should the funeral prayer be held? Where should the funeral prayer be held? We covered how to shroud a person and the things that are needed in terms of shrouding a person's body before they are buried, and what must be done to the deceased person in terms of the ghusl, the washing, and so on and so forth. So we continue, and today we're going to be talking about the description of the actual prayer. So the description of the janazah prayer. How do we pray this prayer? Well, the way that we're going to look at it is we'll look at different proofs and evidences of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum as to how the prayer is to be prayed itself. And you'll notice that some of these evidences focus on certain things within the prayer. And then what we do is we put it all together. And this is how, a lot of our deen is looked at. You know, we analyze different hadith. Now, remember, we're not going to take all of the evidences that are out there, right? We're just going to look at some of them, and then I'll give you the general overview, and then we'll move on, inshallah. But the very first thing that we're going to be covering is the description of the prayer and how to actually pray it. And we'll start with the takbirat. How many takbirat are there? Like when we say Allahu Akbar, how many are there? So there are to be 4, 5, and even up until 9 takbirat that have been mentioned or narrated in the sunnah or from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is again with regards to the janazah prayer, the funeral prayer. And so as for 4 takbirat, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated or reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced the death of the ruler of Abyssinia. Who was that? Who was the ruler of Abyssinia? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his death. I'm just going to move this slightly so I can see the chat. There we go. Who is the ruler of Abyssinia? Nobody knows? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and he announced the death of the ruler of Abyssinia, the Najashi, very good, Najashi, or Negus, right? The Najashi. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced the death of the ruler of Abyssinia, also known as the Najashi, on the day that he died, he then went out to the place of prayer. So he went out to the place where they would pray the janazah prayer and lined the people in rows and made 4 takbirs in that prayer. So that prayer consisted of 4 takbirat, Allahu Akbar, and whatever is said in between, and so on and so forth, right? And we'll get to that shortly. Regarding 5 takbirat, so sometimes we might pray a janazah prayer in a masjid and they have 5 takbirat. They'll say Allahu Akbar, you go through the whole, prayer, and you get to the end and you hear the 4th takbirah, and you're expecting salam to be given, and then you hear a 5th takbirah, and you're like, wait a second, what's going on here? Maybe the imam made a mistake. Well, it could be that the imam made a mistake in terms of, his prayer, and he maybe lost track of the amount of times he was saying the takbirah, or he could actually just be adding a takbirah, because it is permissible for, the janazah prayer to consist of more than 4 takbirat. So regarding 5 takbirat, Abdurrahman ibn Abu Layla said, Zayd ibn Arqam used to make 4 takbirs in our funeral prayers, and sometimes he would make 5 takbirs. I asked him about this, and he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make these takbirs, as in these takbirat. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do 5, and that was what he reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's actions, right? This is what he mentioned was the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, what about 6 or 7? Okay. Such has been, you know, reported from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So 6, 7 has been reported from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or coming from the companions. However, they are considered as having their source with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in they consider their sources to link back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because some of the leading companions did that in the presence of other companions, other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and none of them objected to it. So when some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were leading the prayer and they did 6 or 7 takbirat, the other Sahaba that were there praying with them did not challenge them, or they did not object to the amount of takbirat that those companions were making or calling out in the prayer. Okay. Abdullah ibn Ma'qil said that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an prayed over Sahal ibn Hunayf and made 6 takbirs. Then he turned to us and said he was from the participants of Badr. He was from those who took part in the Battle of Badr. Musa ibn Abdullah ibn Zayd said Ali radiallahu an prayed over Abu Qatada and made 7 takbirs, and he was from the participants at Badr. Okay, so Abu Abd Khair said Ali radiallahu an would make 6 takbirs over someone who participated in the Battle of Badr, 5 over any of the other companions, and 4 over the rest of the people. Okay, so when Ali radiallahu an was leading the janazah prayer, those who took part in the Battle of Badr, he would do 6 takbirat or more takbirat, right? Those who were from amongst the Sahaba, so if a Sahabi passed away, or Sahabiya passed away, and Ali radiallahu anhu was leading the janazah prayer, he would make sure that they were 5 takbirat that he would do in that prayer. And anyone who was not from amongst the Sahaba, or not from those who took part in the Battle of Badr, he would do 4 takbirat. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed over Hamza radiallahu an, the relative of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was martyred during the Battle of Uhud, right? So he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed over Hamza, as in the janazah prayer of Hamza radiallahu an, saying 9 takbirat. So he said, Allahu Akbar, 9 times in that janazah prayer. So that's the amount. Now, the general amount that we see narrated as a more common thing, as well as what we see from the statement of Ali radiallahu an, or the actions of Ali radiallahu an, is that we do 4 takbirat in the janazah prayer, and this is the more common amount that was used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the hands. Where do we place our hands in the janazah prayer? Okay. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would raise his hands in the funeral prayer during the first takbir and then not repeat doing so. And this is actually the opinion that I follow, right? From amongst the scholars, I prefer this one, that you say Allahu Akbar, you raise your hands and then you tie them. And then when you say Allahu Akbar the second, the third, and the fourth time, you do not raise your hands. If someone does raise their hands, that's okay. You know, again, what's mentioned is, you know, the hands are raised during takbirat, and so you do that. But the hadith specifically for janazah prayer, and I remember doing research on this when I was a student in Medina, and I noticed that some people would be raising their hands and some people wouldn't be raising their hands. And I was like, you know what, I actually want to research this. And I went and I researched it and I came across this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having not raised his hands in the second, third, and fourth takbirah, but he would in the first. Okay, so Allahu Akbar. And then where do we place our hands? So after raising the hands, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put his right hand over his left hand, as in his right over the left hand, wrist, and forearm. So he would put it over the hand, the wrist, and the forearm, as in he would grab here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so like this, right? Not over the wrist, okay? Not over the hand, butt, over the hand, the wrist, and the forearm. Now, we see that in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's mentioned those three places as well. Okay, so putting your hand over your hand, or putting your hand over your wrist, or putting your right hand over your right forearm. Okay, so those three positions are correct in placing the hands when standing for salah, and we know that we've covered this already in the past when we were talking about the regular prayers that we pray, the compulsory prayers. Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu said, the people were ordered to place the right hand on the left forearm while praying. Okay. So that's another evidence is given to put your hand here past the wrist and past the hand. So not holding your hand or holding your wrist, but holding your forearm. After the opening takbirah, so we're talking about the janazah prayer again, right? We're continuing the janazah prayer. After the opening takbirah, and you say Allahu Akbar and tie your hands, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read Surah Al-Fatiha, and in some narrations it mentions that he used to read another surah of the Quran. Talha ibn Abdullah ibn Auf said, I prayed the funeral prayer behind Ibn Abbas. He would read Surah Al-Fatiha and another surah. He made it aloud until we could hear him. So he actually recited out loud, so that not out loud as we regularly do on, you know, for example, the Maghrib prayer or the Isha prayer, reading out loud. But reading out loud enough so the Sahaba next to him, right? Reading loud enough so that the Sahaba, the companions, or those standing next to him and around him or directly behind him could hear what he was saying. And this was done in order to teach the people that are around, okay? And it's also from, you know, you'll see it in parenting. Parents will do this with children as well. They'll tell their children, that, hey, you know what? This is what you're supposed to do in prayer. Listen to me, and whatever I say, you just repeat. You follow me as well, okay? So he made it out loud until we could hear him. When he finished, so who are we talking about here? We're talking about Ibn Abbas. Okay, they prayed behind Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. He read Surah Al-Fatiha and another surah. He made it out loud until we could hear him. When he finished the prayer, I took him by his hand and I asked him about that. Why did you read so we can hear you? And why did you recite a surah? Okay. He replied, I did it aloud in order to teach you that it is the sunnah and it is proper. Okay, so he recited it out loud so that the people beside him or behind him can know that this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is correct. You can do it. Okay, so, and what he's referring to there is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, but also reciting a surah afterwards. Okay, it is to be read silently, as Abu Umama ibn Sahal said. The sunnah in the funeral prayer is to read after the first takbir Surah Al-Fatiha silently. Okay, so remember Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he did that to teach the people, but the janazah prayer is not a prayer that is recited out loud or prayed out loud. It's a prayer that is prayed silently. Okay. So he said, after the first takbir, Surah Al-Fatiha, silently, then one makes three takbirs and makes the salutations after the last of them. Right, so it continues. There's another takbir, and then you recite something, and so that's what we're getting into now. What do you say after the first takbir, Surah Al-Fatiha? What do you then you say Allahu Akbar, right? What do you say after that? A person sends peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Umama, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi. Sorry, let me go back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, based on the aforementioned hadith of Abu Umama, in which one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him the sunnah in the funeral prayer is for the imam to make the takbir and then recite al-Fatiha silently to himself after the first takbir. Then he states the prayers, as in salutations, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Sorry, what's going on here? Okay. Then he makes sincere supplication for the deceased after the third takbir. So then a person says, Allahu Akbar, third time, and then you pray for the person who passed away. Right? Allahumma fili hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saririna wa kabirina wa zakarina wa unthana. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa ahyi ala al-islam wa man tawafaytahu minna fa tawafahu ala al-iman. Right? And then he makes the fourth takbir and he does the salutations to the right and to the left. Okay. It is permissible to say the salam, the salutations, only once. So a person can say salam to the right side only, and that is permissible. And this is based on the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the funeral prayer and made four takbirs and only one salutation. Right? So he said Allahu Akbar four times and did what we need to do after each one of them. And he only did one salam to the right. Okay. Give me 1 second here. Okay. So next part we're going to look at is that it is not allowed to perform the janazah prayer during the prohibited times of the day. So remember when we were talking about the compulsory prayers and the times that it is not permitted to pray or it is disliked to pray throughout the sunrise, sunset, and noon, right? When the sun is directly at its peak, at the zenith. So the time that the sun begins to cross the horizon as it's rising, right, during sunrise is one of the times that, you know, we don't pray any other prayers and we don't even pray the janazah prayer, right? It's not permitted to do that. The virtue of performing the funeral prayer and following the funeral procession, okay, following the bier. Bier is spelled B-I-E-R. B-I-E-R is the thing that we put the coffin on top of or the body on top of when we're transporting it to go from the funeral prayer to the cemetery. So what are the virtues of performing the funeral prayer and following the body to the cemetery? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays for the deceased but does and follows the funeral, whoever prays for the deceased but does not follow the funeral procession will get one qirat of reward. And the one who follows it will receive two qirat of reward. And then it was said, and what is a qirat? Like, what is the amount of qirat? What is this? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the smaller of the two of them is like Mount Uhud. So the smaller of the two rewards is like Mount Uhud, right? So you get a reward for praying the prayer, you get a reward for following the janazah prayer, and each one of those qirat is the size of Mount Uhud. Mount Uhud is a few kilometers long. And what's meant by that is an abundant amount of reward, so big, like the size of a mountain, right? That's how much rewards a person gets when they attend the funeral prayer. So whoever prays for the deceased person and then also follows it up will get the multiple amount of qirat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also prohibited women from following the funeral prayer to the cemetery, okay? However, as we see in the book that we're learning, this is a prohibition of discouragement, okay? So it's a prohibition of discouragement that it is not encouraged for women to go along, okay? I'm just going to pause for a second if you don't mind. I just need to sort a few things out. Okay. I'll just continue, inshallah. Atiyah, radiallahu anha, said, she stated, we were prohibited from following the funeral procession, but it was not made something strict upon us. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the funeral bier is not to be followed in the procession by wailing sounds, and we learned this already, or by fire. And what is meant by that is incense. So we do not, you know, have incense that is placed around, either the grave or following the funeral procession, right? You don't follow it with incense, and you don't follow it by, you know, weeping and, crying and, you know, anything of that sort, right? Included in this category is, included in the things that are not permitted during the funeral and following the funeral are raising one's voice by reciting words of remembrance in front of the funeral procession, right? So standing in front of it and reciting something as, you know, people are bringing the coffin behind. So people standing in the front, basically leading the way and reciting something. That's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, this view is based on Qais ibn Ibad's statement, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would dislike for anyone to raise their voice during the funeral. Okay, so it was disliked to raise your voice during that funeral. So those are some of the etiquettes with regards to following the funeral, praying it, and then following it to the cemetery. It is obligatory to move quickly with the funeral procession, but not to run or jog. Okay, so when transporting the body to the cemetery, it is encouraged and part of our deen to hurry up and to bury the body, right? And we know that we took that hadith already last week where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hurry in performing the funeral, for if he were a pious person, you will take him to goodness, right? So you would take that person to goodness. And he continues and says, if he was other than that, it is evil that you are removing from your necks, as in you are getting rid of something, not so much getting rid of, but you are passing on someone who was spreading evil on this earth to receive what is due upon them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save and protect us all. Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the rider, someone who's following the funeral but riding. So nowadays when we follow the hearse that's going to the cemetery, we usually sit in our cars and we follow. So we're riding something. We're not riding an animal, a horse or a camel, but we are riding behind it in a person's vehicle. So Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the rider is to be behind the funeral procession while the one walking may be wherever he wishes with respect to it. So someone who's walking could be walking beside the body, could be walking in front of the body, could be walking behind the body. However, remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he mentions the reward of those who pray the funeral prayer and then follow it. He mentions following, right? And so the scholars say that, however, it's best if a person is going to be walking that they also walk behind the funeral procession that is going, right? So they walk behind the body. And the last part that we're going to take, inshallah, is, what is to be said when entering or passing by the graveyard? Okay, passing by the cemetery or going to the cemetery. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I said, so she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what should I say to them, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And he said, Quli, say, As-salamu ala ahli al-diyari min al-mu'minina wal-muslimina wa yarhamullahu al-mustaqdimina minna wal-musta'khirina wa inna insha'allahu bikum lalahiqoon. So he said, say, peace be upon the inhabitants of these places before the believers and the Muslims. May Allah have mercy on those who preceded us and those who will come after. Allah willing, we shall be joining you. Sulaiman ibn Buraida, radiallahu anhu, Sulaiman ibn Buraida narrated from his father, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that if we go to the graves, we should say, Assalamu alaykum ahl al-diyari min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimeen wa inna insha'allahu lahiquna as'alallahu lana walakum al-afiyah. Okay. There are multiple narrations, multiple different du'a that you can say. If you open up Hisn al-Muslim, you'll see it there, and you can learn any one of those hadith or du'a and recite it when you go to the cemetery. In English, it means, peace be upon you, O inhabitants of the graves, from the believers and Muslims, we, inshallah, Allah willing, shall be joining you. I ask Allah for us and for you well-being. So that is the du'a that is recited. And that brings us to the end of our class for today in terms of what we're going to cover. Next week, we continue with the burial and how to conduct the burial, what should be done, and so on and so forth, looking at some of the sunan and the graveyard and what is to be observed over there. We'll take that from next week, inshallah. I'll just open it up for a couple of questions, just one or two, inshallah, and then I'm going to head out because I want to head over to the masjid. Any questions, you can type them in, inshallah, okay? Are we going to have the Quran class? We'll see about that, inshallah. Still debating on whether to start that up. Okay, so we'll suffice with that for today, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending. We will continue next week, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon every single one of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide those who, every single one of us needs guidance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide every single one of us, especially those that are, typing in nonsense on the chat. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us patience in dealing with people that are around us. And I thank every single one of you for attending. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.